favourite Bach piece. Just for the sake of space, would you mind if I sat down? It says in the programme, the celebrant shall now give a short address. So I'm going to try and make it very short. And it's for Ross today, that I want to speak about the only consciousness that means anything in the world. And that, of course, is the Christ consciousness. Anyone who is ready to be elevated has to have that experience. So I'm going to share those thoughts with everyone here today. And congratulations to you, Ross. It's not an easy path. But you've suffered incredibly. And often I say I wouldn't wish elevation on my worst enemy, which is true. But then there comes the understanding, the power, the ability to see with our etheric eyes, and then the greatest love we have ever known. And I've chosen a passage today from Luke chapter 4, 31 to 36. And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were all astonished at his teachings, for his words were with authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out in a loud voice, "Ah, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits and they come out." And what I'd like to focus on is, what is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. I think this word is I, the I of the I am, the I that stands for individuality, the I that stands upright, the I that doesn't need propping up because it stands all on its own. The I also doubles as a number one, which means undivided. I wonder which I thinks this I is the I of the I am. And I don't know if you've read The Power of Now in Eckhart Tolle's first page. He's saying, "I want to kill myself." And then he suddenly realized, well, which I wants to kill myself? There must be two I's. And indeed, there are. And of course, he went on to have a wonderful experience. Because we have that astral eye as well as the real eye. And sometimes the astral eye, speaking for myself, is quite predominant. But without the astral eye, we can never develop a real eye. That's the process. And how do I know which eye is which? And whilst I was asking myself this question, I decided it would be good to make a little experiment. So I further asked, "Now, what is coming out of me? Does the letter stand for individuality or indecision, incomplete, insecure, inconstant, indecent, insolent?" By the way, I've come up with another one. It is impressionable. I confess to being extremely impressionable. If ever I see someone smoking on the TV, as in Becca, or on Zoom, as in Ross, I think, oh my God, I'd love a cigarette. And then if I see somebody drinking, oh my God, I'd love a drink. The impressions, they come and I confess. I feel them. I don't follow through, but I know that that's happening. And the reason I know this about myself is because of what is called self-reflection. I cannot describe how difficult self-reflection is, and I'm sure you've all tried it and succeeded at it, eh? There are two exercises in level one wise art that affected me the most. The first one is the self-reflection exercise, and the other one is the I am exercise, which I'll have to talk about another day because this is a very short address. The self-reflection exercise is one that many people do in the wise art and find it extremely difficult, and why wouldn't they? In fact, in module 8 of level 1, if we ask them which is their power center, they've got no idea. Well, I knew my power center on the spot. So did he. And one has to do this, and it's taken me most of my almost 78 years to partially grab the idea of self-reflection. It takes a lot of practice. And I can often say after the fact, damn, I did and said blah, blah, blah to that person. I still do that. Whereas if we could catch ourselves before we engage in it, which husband always does, we're on the road to recovery. The I am, which we call Christ. And by the way, JL and I have an exercise we do every single day, together or independently. We say, and it's before the breastplate, Lord Christ, I offer myself 100% to you. And as Mario used to say, if Christ is for me, then who can be against me? That is it. And if we consistently say things to other people that don't belong to them, we're projecting and doing enormous damage to our own souls. What I tell people, and I think I used this expression last night, just go say it to the mirror. That includes some of the so-called unsolicited clairvoyant statements. Sometimes what other people say about other people can actually become quite infectious. Have you ever noticed that? Infectious. My favorite saying is, and I stand by this, we are not our behaviors. Not our behaviors. We are far, far greater than that. We are more brilliant than any earthly light we've ever seen. And hold that thought, please. Even though I just said what people say can be quite infectious, I own that. But I also know that we are brilliant lights, and that's how powerful we can be for the world when it's in this incredible state. I'll give you an example of how we can become infected by others. I was living in England in 1960. Were you there in 60, Sheila?
I left here in 67 to go to New Zealand first, and then I came to Australia later.
Oh, okay, so I was in England at...
Yeah, I was still at boarding school in 1960.
Were you?
Yes, I finished in 61, I think.
Well, I watched Princess Margaret's wedding on the television in England. Yeah. She married Anthony Armstrong Jones. And back in the 60s, there was this huge fashion of tulle everywhere, tulle veils, chill big wastes coming out everywhere, and she looked beautiful, really, and she had lashings of chill blooming from her waist, and she was very skinny, as most brides are. And some years later, Princess Margaret's son was marrying a girl called Serena Stanhope. When I saw the bride, I said to myself, wow, she is paying a huge compliment to her mother-in-law. She had lashings of tulle everywhere, and lashings of tulle coming from a tiny waist. She looked just like her mother-in-law, and I thought she looked beautiful. So I thought, she's really paying her mother-in-law a compliment. And then, I don't do this anymore, but then I picked up one of those magazines, don't ask me which one it was, could be New Idea or something like that. And the journalist had written, the bride looked like an over-the-top lemon meringue pie. And I went, oh my God, she does. Far out, she really does. And then I suddenly realized, no. And I screamed out, no, that is not my thought. They're not my thoughts. That I got infected by. I was thinking something completely different from the I am. So I abandoned it and went back to my original I am statement, which was that she was complimenting her mother-in-law and that she looked beautiful. So never underestimate. Let us never underestimate the power of our own I am. Let us not underestimate either how spirit can throw us right off balance. I remember in years gone by, when we had a powerful situation, I could get really tetchy, projective, argumentative, the list goes on, and this is with my husband, of course. And I sometimes thought, I'm not even going to go to church today. I was so upset. And then I suddenly realized what it was. It was the power. And power can knock you for six. But if we go with the power, it's absolutely brilliant. And today, JR and I, if we get a bit agitated, we turn around and look at each other and say, power, power coming. And of course, when we were preparing for the retreat, there's a lot of power involved. And you would have experienced that too, Ross. Yes. Science loves to say that consciousness is a product of the brain. Metaphysics, that which is beyond the physical, says otherwise. Metaphysics says, I am, therefore I think, not I think, therefore I am. A wonderful neurologist, now you imagine neurologists doing brain stuff, who swore the brain was the total responsibility of all consciousness. He had a near-death experience. And guess what he discovered? Ooh. You can read it in JR's next book. Bit of advertising going on here. I began today's talk by asking from the passage I read out, what is this word for with authority and power things? And I have a page missing. So thank you very much, JR, for what you printed out for me, because it's not there. But I do remember sort of how it went. To meet the Christ and to live in the Christ consciousness is so simple. It's not an academic exercise. We should all train our brain. Everyone should train their brain so they can think clearly. But it's not an academic exercise. It's an experience. And how we have the experience, it is by grace, indeed. But there's just this one, two thing we have to do. Love. 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 And always live in a state of forgiveness. So shall it be.
So shall it be.
I sing because I'm free.